Welcome to The Good Stuff with Sonoma County Wine Growers. I'm Virginie Boone alongside Carissa Cruz, President, CEO of The Wine Growers, here to talk about what makes Sonoma County such a special place to grow, make, and enjoy wine.
Sorry, I'm still busy dancing to our theme song.
And dance to good times.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of good times going on this weekend because we are in the middle of the Healdsburg Wine and Food Experience, fourth annual.
Fourth? I know. I mean, that's crazy.
Isn't it crazy?
Time has gone fast.
Time has gone fast, right? So an idea born out of COVID.
Right. Like
long
so day, many.
The long days on Zoom of COVID, brainstorming. What do we want the world to look like?
When we get out of this place.
Yeah, when we get out of this place. And we said we wanted to throw a big party.
And
we did it.
You were right about that.
We were right. And so, yeah, it's really exciting. Food and Wine Magazine has obviously been a partner from the very beginning. Healdsburg, we called it Wine and Food Experience since it was actually a big global event in our backyard where, yes, we love our food, but we also very much love our wine and all things agriculture. So we're now into Saturday. Today is the grand tasting. Last night was the Rodney Strong concert and also a great sort of progressive dinner at Chalk Hill. But today is the grand tasting. So I think everyone
get out
should
there.
Stop listening to the show and go to the grand tasting in Healdsburg.
Not yet.
Wait.
Not
just
yet.
Kidding.
There's time.
Keep the show on and go to the grand tasting in Healdsburg.
Listen to it on your phone.
Yes.
As you walk around tasting wine.
Yes. I think that's perfect. It might be more fun to hang out with your friends while you're tasting wine. So anyway.
We are your friends.
I know. That's true. That is true. But yeah, I'm really excited to, again, see this event come to fruition. It takes all year of a team dedicated to planning, our partners, Steve DeVaris and his team. We've been really proud to be early founders, co-founders, and investors in literally bringing people here so they can drink wine in the place where it was made with chefs from around the country. And
that is an important distinction because there really just are not that many food, wine, spirits, any kind of festivals involving all those things that take place in an actual wine growing community.
I know. And I think that was really
the
inspiration was we've participated in Aspen Food and Wine, the Aspen Classic since I've started in this role. So I think we're going on, well, with COVID and some of the change ups, probably 10 years, we've participated as Sonoma County wine growers at Aspen. And it really is striking that, you know, you bring all these people into a region that you then promote wine and food, but you're really just in the middle of a downtown like Aspen.
Yeah.
And it's mountains. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful and stunning. But really, there's no culture connection back to the agriculture piece or the winemaking piece. So to drop a kind of a global event like that in a wine region, I think it's why people have been so excited about it and kind of keep coming back year after year.
I think you're right.
And the hope is, you know, we'll be around in 30 years.
How many people usually attend?
So a couple thousand for the grand tasting. That's obviously the big event going on this afternoon. And then, you know, around the different events are vary between being more intimate, kind of VIP, 100, 150 to obviously the Rodney Strong concert, I think 500 plus folks. I don't know what the final number was there. But we love it. So we bring in, normally we do a SOM education program with Ray Isle. His daughter is graduating from a college in Rome this weekend. So congrats to your family, Ray, out there.
That's insane.
I know, insane. Yeah. And so he wasn't here. So we, instead of doing our SOM program, which we're going to now do in September with him, we are hosted some of our partners. So we had Rich in town from the Coachella Valley Firebirds. He's our partner there. Richard from Let Us Entertain You, and Jarrett Ingram from Landry's, and our good friend David Tuck from Alaska Airlines. I know the list goes on. So it was just fun.
And they're just in town to hang out.
They're in town to hang out. We did a really nice sort of intimate dinner with our growers last night at Dutton Ranch, which was just really kind of community and really thanking our partners for being a part of our journey and supporting our local farmers. So all things good stuff with Healdsburg Wine and Food Experience this weekend.
Oh, my God.
Do you like it?
I like it. I like it. It is important to get people to come here. And having an annual event that people can kind of plan around and calendar.
It's been the same weekend right before Memorial Day weekend for the last 3 years, holding true this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, I think it's a good date. That obviously Sonoma County is such a beautiful place this time of year. So it's nice to have people in our backyard.
And you can fly right into Santa Rosa Airport.
From so many places.
On Alaska. Into Snoopy Town.
Yes, I know. Take a quick photo with Snoopy at the airport and then head out and join us at Heels Burger. Really, any of our winery partners?
Yeah.
Across the region.
Okay. Well, we, you know, this is a good segue into our guest today, which is very food focused, but
yes,
with a side of wine. Actually, and a lot of wine.
A lot of wine and a really good partner to so many of our local wineries.
Okay. Well, we will introduce him when we come back on today's Good Stuff. The Good Stuff in studio with our guest, Nico Diana, co-owner of Ca Bianca Italian Restaurant. I'm getting my Italian pronunciation in here today.
I know.
Welcome, Nico.
Thanks for having me on the show. It's great
to
be here.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, so Carissa's kind of a regular of Ca Bianca.
Don't let out my secret.
I see her and Steve all the time.
I was a little torn. Do we bring him in? Because then I'm not going to get my seat at the bar like I like. So, Nico, now you just got to put a little reserve sign always there.
Oh, yeah. We'll always have that there for you.
If that's okay. No, but I was really excited, Nico, to have you on the show. As I mentioned, we've had some chefs in before, but you literally, Ca Bianca is such a part of really downtown Santa Rosa. And such a great spot for food. You're a multi-generational family business. I just think there's so many great things to talk about. And so we just thought we'd have you in and hear about you and the restaurant. So maybe just start kind of, did you grow up here? What was that like? And we have a little insight that you grew up in the same neighborhood as our producer, Jeff, over here. So if Jeff joins us for anything, we'll see what happens here. He is cackling in the back, so
you never know what could happen.
Yeah, you never know. The good news is hopefully he won't cut our mics, because that's when it gets really dangerous. But yeah, Nico, so just maybe talk a little bit about growing up here.
Yeah, so I was born in San Francisco, and we moved up here from the city when I was about 4. My parents both came kind of from food background. My mom opened a bakery in San Francisco when she moved here from Germany, and my dad was the manager at the Fairmont Hotel in San Francisco, opened a few restaurants in the city, and then decided when I was born to move up here. So by coincidence, they moved up here and fell in love with the Marshall House. Definitely needed some work. It was kind of a tea house German restaurant and hadn't been well taken care of. Somehow they had this vision. I still don't get it to this day. I mean, so just from seeing pictures and everything, they put in a lot of sweat equity, you know, a whole year they lived there with a crew. They kind of gutted the whole place, restored all the original hardwood and everything, and a year later we're able to open in March of 96. So I was about 2 years old almost at that point. So I've just grown up there, you know. It's my home more than my home. We lived upstairs actually for 2 years.
Wow.
So there's a little apartment up there, but you know, from that point forward it was a lot of just doing 3 or 4 jobs at once, you know, not bringing in much money, but doing it for the love of what it was. And I mean, now we're almost 30 years down the road, but so me growing up in Sonoma County, you know, you're kind of up here, more farmland, more nature. I mean, I definitely prefer that to a big city any day. You know, it's a lot more similar to where we're from in Europe as well. My dad's from a small town called Lago Maggiore, Luino, outside of Milano, about half an hour near the Swiss border. My mom's from Wagenhofen, outside of Munich, Germany. So
you know all the accents.
Yeah, that's
I speak German,
well
I speak
done.
Italian.
That
My wife's
well
from Colombia, so I speak Spanish.
Fantastic.
You know, just a multicultural house, and I think the restaurant, you know, reflects a lot of that.
So how did your parents meet then? So we got this intersection of Germany and Italy. How does that happen?
Did they meet in Switzerland? Did they meet?
I don't know. Where's the neutral? Neutral tear. I see what you did there.
Well, it's also, you know, geography.
And literally.
Geography.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, so they actually met when my dad was the manager at the Fairmont, and she had her bakery. He'd come down and bring her flowers every day.
So he was courting her.
Yeah, he would do little odd jobs around. I've heard some crazy stories where he almost burned down the cafe trying to, you know, install some wiring and stuff. So it's just a bunch of funny stories like that. And I got a lot of I have no family here, really. They're all back in Europe still. But I have a lot of, let's call them uncles and aunts around here, you know, that I grew up with, my dad's friends that also worked with him throughout the years in the city, like Diego, I think maybe you've met him before, and Vincenzo, who was the chef at the Fairmont with my dad. So, you know, they've been in touch for the last 40 years, and they're like family to me, so they're a big part of my upbringing in the culinary world, and kind of, that's how I got into where I am now, because I studied finance, nothing similar, really, but...
in order to run a business,
that is actually a part of the business.
But, I mean, that's a misconception sometimes where people think, you know, if I just put a lot of money into a restaurant, it'll become successful. But I think it takes a lot of know-how at the food side of it, and then obviously, and then just a lot of love and passion, because it's really just a passion project to keep it going for this long, especially, and to evolve with the different times and economic conditions. And
So what were your parents' roles in the restaurant? Your dad is the chef, or was he the opening chef at Cabianca?
And so one of my mom's very good friends and my aunt's, he unfortunately passed away this year, but he owned actually ran a culinary school in Munich, where he would train a lot of chefs that went on to work in Michelin star restaurants.
The restaurant is calling you. They're like, what are you doing?
Get back. I need a reservation. It's actually Carissa calling.
It's me calling.
I need a reservation for tonight.
Can I get in tonight?
Yeah. But, so.
I think that's a yes. I get my reservation.
I think you get it.
Okay.
There we go. I turned it off. So basically, he would send us chefs and himself would come over and train everybody. When they first opened, my parents, he also lived with us upstairs in the restaurant in a separate room. And he would spend 6 months here training a bunch of the same people that actually, crazy enough, which you don't see in a restaurant, they still work with us 28 years later. They started at 18. They still work in the kitchen. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So incredible.
That's how I grew up. And that's where I got my culinary background, is mainly just through on Sundays cooking with my parents in the kitchen and with all the chefs that would come over. They live with us. And I was just always in the kitchen, you know, doing that. And as Jeff knows, he came over to eat plenty of times at my house.
And, I think he might have mentioned that the last time we were in here recording, that he enjoyed
the pasta and pink sauce was a staple.
That was his favorite, one of the most basic items.
Wait, that's the rigatoni I get.
Yeah, but you know, it's just one of those comfort foods that, and that's kind of the whole purpose of the restaurant. I mean,
so but the Marshall House was it had steeped in history, where Cabianca's lives literally, but it was a German restaurant.
Yeah, the restaurant.
So then, how'd your mom lose out to having it be an Italian restaurant?
I mean, how many German restaurants have you seen around?
I know. That's fair.
I mean, we are in Sonoma County.
We are. But I'm just curious, was that a discussion at all, or was it just obvious it was going to be an Italian restaurant? And then how'd you come up with the name, and how'd it start?
I think for sure they've always had their mindset on Italian restaurants, just because that's where my dad's background was, and as great of a chef cook as my mom is.
Yeah.
You know, Italian food is just so beloved by everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you know, it was just, it kind of tied in so wonderfully with the whole region, with the wine, and it was a growing area. I mean, it's definitely come so far. And I mean, this is why I'm back here, because I just love it so much in Sonoma County. And there's so much you can do with a restaurant here, between the wine, the food, the cheese, you just have
everything.
Limitless.
Yeah, everything. It's true.
But, so they decided on Italian from the beginning, you know. And then Cabianca is Casa Bianca, so it's an abbreviation for White House, which obviously...
It's a White House.
It's a big White House.
You should describe it, because for people that might not know, because I think Cabianca is one of the best gems in Sonoma County for restaurants. So describe. So you're in downtown Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, off of 2nd and E Street. I wish I would have brought some pictures. I couldn't find them.
We'll put them on we'll share them when we promote the show. So.
Yeah, I'll look around for them. I mean, before, basically, the yard, you could just see straight through to the street. And that was my mom's, like, passion project, is just growing the garden to be what it
is.
And so, basically, you can't even see out to the street anymore. It's just, you kind of feel like you're taken away to a beautiful garden in Italy, somewhere in Tuscany. And that's kind of the overall experience we love to just bring to the table, because, you know, you have great food, but you have great ambiance. And then it just is so conducive to just a great experience and memorable experience. And we have, we do any kind of events, but I think it just, instead of just being in some restaurant or outside in some courtyard, it really is a destination within the downtown of Santa Rosa, which you would never expect.
I've done it all. I've sat in all the places there. So, but I mean, I do think you have a completely different experience depending on where you sit in the restaurant. So like, I've sat outside in the gardens.
Lovely.
So beautiful on a beautiful evening or over lunch. I've been on the porch, which is so fun, because you're like kind of good for people watching and seeing everyone kind of come and go. You're outside. you're in the main restaurant, which is literally what would have been like the living room of the home, right? Which you're like, feels so cozy, and you have the fireplace kind of off to the one side of the room, and then often we just come and sit at the bar so we can frankly catch up with you and talk to everyone, and that feels like the family, like just saying hi to everyone. So I mean, I love that. So four different experiences in one place.
Yeah, and that's definitely, I mean, it's nice. There's so many people that want to sit in one room, and there's other people that per se just don't like that room, but everyone has their own personal preference, and it's so interesting to see why people come to that decision. Yeah. But it's just nice to have so many options for people to feel like they have their special place where almost they feel at home, you know, when they go out to dinner. Or we've had so many customers that come, their kids come for prom. I mean, I was a kid too, but then they come back and have the rehearsal dinner or something. Yep. And so it's just, you know, through the generations, you get to know families and people, and it really just brings the whole experience of Sonoma County full circle. Or I went to school with them. And so that's kind of what Cabianca encapsulates, is just the community also, where it is a restaurant for everybody, not just a certain demographic of people or anything. You know, we try to cater to everybody's desires and liking, you know. Mm-hmm.
So you left for a while, and then, like you said, you came back because it's irresistible. But where did you go? What did you do?
So I moved to San Diego. I went to San Diego State. I got my degree there in business administration and then international business and finance and German, because that was just easy to tack on there. Then I went and worked in Germany for a while in the financial industry. And I really enjoyed that. I loved being with my family. Got to spend time with my grandma because, you know, I didn't spend so much time with them my whole life growing up, just when we'd go back twice a year for vacation, but too short. And then when I moved back here, I started looking for jobs. I was offered a job in New York. It wasn't my cup of tea. Like I said, I just liked the country life better than the city life. You know, one day I was talking to my parents. I was interviewing for jobs in the city. And they were always like, you know, like the restaurant life, it's a real commitment. It's a lifestyle. I mean, it owns you. You don't own it. But like I said, I grew up there since I was a kid. We used to do Mother's Day brunches and stuff. I'd be a busboy when I was 7 years old. And I knew all these customers. And it just felt so wrong to not be there. It felt like my home. It didn't feel like work. My parents would go on vacation to Europe for a month in the summers, and I would work. And I just never felt like it was work. And, you know, when you grow up, everyone tells you do something that you don't feel like work. Yep. And when I'm there, I feel like I'm with family. I feel like I'm just with people that it's just a great day every day, you know?
Right. Is that your favorite part of kind of the restaurant business, is the people part? Or do you have other aspects that you enjoy?
I love the people part. I love being able to put, you know, your personal touch that you've evolved just through my travels, you know, whether it be South America or Europe. You just gain so much insight and going to different restaurants and seeing different preparations of things and different expressions of foods. It really just, I like being able to put my touch on that. And the people part is definitely the number one thing. It's just, you meet so many interesting people. I mean, I met a guy the other day, he was here, he was a private pilot for a CEO, and you just hear all these crazy stories about people traveling the world. And then you meet doctors, you just meet people that kind of, through their stories, they almost make you feel like you were living in that for a moment, and you understand so many different things and perspectives in the world. But that's my favorite part, I think, is the people part. And working with people that I've known since I was 1 year old. I mean, there's people that have worked there since 30 years now almost.
Yeah.
I love that. And incredible. Such a common story among so many of our farmers too, that grow up sort of with the neighbors and with people that maybe worked for their parents, and now that the new generation's working even with the next generation or that generation. And I always love that. I mean, it's been fun. It's fun seeing you with your dad at the restaurant when you're not often, you don't cross paths there as much anymore, because I know it's kind of your night off when he's there.
Yeah.
His night off.
He does me that big favor to give me two nights off.
So. I'm always like, when I walk in, I'm like, oh, it's Marco. I'm like, oh, Nico must be home. But then sometimes you're still there, like sneaky in the bar somewhere in the back there doing something, probably inventory management or something really exciting.
Do you have siblings, or are you the only one?
Yeah, I have a sister. She's currently, so she went to UCSB and she's currently studying molecular biology in Munich.
Okay.
I'm sorry, in Berlin, doing her master's right now. Oh, so she's about a year in.
Okay. So, not working the floor yet.
No, she's, you know, that's where we differed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did she work in the restaurant growing up?
She was also always a busser, you know, going to high school and everything. And we both, I mean, we did homework at the bar every day. That is our home, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could never see anybody else with that building or that restaurant. It would break my heart.
So is your favorite meal growing up on the menu?
You know, There's one thing that I'll always love, and it's fresh chanterelle mushroom pasta with homemade fettuccine. It's just so easy, but there's so much flavor there.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
It's going to be a little star.
I did not eat that while I was doing my homework.
No, I did not either. I'm like, that or mac and cheese out of a blue box. That was more like what I had growing up. But that's all right.
Yeah, it's all right.
Well, that is super cool. And so now your dad and mom, so what's your mom's role? Has she been still involved?
Yeah, so she does all the event planning. So we do a lot of financial events, pharmaceutical, rehearsal dinner.
Oh, yeah.
There's so much email coordination every day going on that she does all that. She does all the bookkeeping.
Yep.
And she just does everything with me. She does all the design. You know, anytime we buy anything new, she's always taking care of the garden with the gardeners. And she's very hands-on. I mean, that's her baby, too. So it's, you know, that's kind of the beauty of it. There's three of us now that just have our full attention always on it. I mean, my dad a little bit more on the golf course now, but he's earned it.
Oh, good for
That's
him.
Fair. Yeah. That's fair. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We will come back with our guest, Nico Diana of Cabianca, very soon. The good stuff, talking about the beautiful Cabianca Italian restaurant in Santa Rosa with the co-owner Nico Diana, second generation, I should say, but fully focused on this wonderful restaurant. What do you typically have there, Carissa?
I do a lot of pasta. I'm not going to lie.
Well,
I mean,
you're in the
they
right
have
place
a really,
for that.
I know, but I mean, they have a really great chicken on the menu and salmon, and there's great salads and everything. But yeah, I mean, when I'm hunkered down there, I want pasta and a glass of red wine.
Yeah, I mean,
I drink a lot of Pinot Noir with pasta, but that's just the world I'm in. So.
That's, you know, the thing is, the number one line I hear at the restaurant is "When in Rome." So that's everybody always wants to drink Italian wine, eat pasta, and it's just funny that that's, you know, that's everybody's go-to line somehow.
Yeah. No, it totally works. I mean, the food's so good, and I have experimented, but normally by the time we get there, it's like it's been a long day, and we just want to like sit at the bar and have some pasta.
Yeah.
I
want to do that right now.
I know, like now.
It also sponge up all the alcohol.
We can just cut this off short and leave.
Yeah, it all works itself out.
Huh, Jeff, our resident expert on our producer and sponging up alcohol. So thank you for those tips.
Important skill.
But talk a little bit, because you've been, and we've spent a lot of time, I mean, you have a fantastic wine list, and we've talked a lot about it and how you choose sort of your winery partners, but you really support so many Sonoma County wineries, and maybe just talk about your philosophy of food and wine, and then also just like who you partner with and how you make some of those decisions.
So when I took over the wine list about 6 or 7 years ago, my dad's number one rule that I kind of adopted was, if we're going to buy domestic wine, it's only going to be from Sonoma County, and then obviously a little bit of Napa, just because they do also bring us business in.
Yes.
So, and then obviously Italian and a little bit of French Champagne. But there's so many people that come on a daily basis. They bring business meetings, they bring clients, they send tasting room guests. And I think it's just, it brings together that whole cohesive Sonoma County experience to go to a tasting room and they say, you know, we have this really great restaurant. Let me call them. We might be booked, but I always try to make space for certain people because we have such a great partnership. You know, and that's the number one thing is to, I mean, there's so many distributors out there and they just try to sell what they need to sell. But you can meet so many great people with so many great stories in this region where, I mean, as you know, Steve has been such a great customer and there's just so many great expressions of single vineyard Pinots and Chardonnays. So I obviously buy what I like as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's not always the case of what people buy, but there's just...
I think you do pretty well.
And there's a lot of farming families that just, you know, it's their story, just like Cabianca's ours. It's their story, their third, fourth generation. And they're here for the love and passion of what they do in their craft every day. And, you know, they go through the ups and downs of fires and everything, but they're still here, you know, tenacious people, and they always bring the best product they can to the table.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's kind of where we start from. And then you get to meet people and it evolves over time, or a winery sells, and then maybe you phase it out because it's no longer that Sonoma County family that has been running it for so long, and who knows why it's been sold or... But
it's,
you
our,
know.
It's our phone show today.
I know. Wait, I don't know what's
was
going
that
on.
Yours?
Make sure yours is off for the next segment, please.
I think,
all right?
I think, I don't know. I'm just going to turn mine on. I'm feeling left out. Why is no one calling me?
I just upgraded my phone, and it literally has the volume off, so I don't, I'm not
that's
quite
what
sure
I, mine was
happening.
On Do Not Disturb with the volume off.
Yeah,
it's still
I know. So I think there's something about the studio.
Your phone's talking?
Oh, yeah. Please. All right.
Oh, wow. Jeff, what did you do to our phones?
I don't know.
He gave you a look. You're finally on his bad list.
I'm
normally
on a, I'm
me.
On a
it's
double bad me. List because it happened twice, too.
Nico, so. I sit okay. next to Jeff every show, and inevitably I do something that makes him crazy.
She's checking emails, nah. like, you know, getting distracted at thought. I'm like, you can put on your headphones before this next segment, or are we just going to
yes.
wing it? You
I'm
know?
Not doing it. I'm not doing it in front of guests.
Sorry,
yeah.
I have to take this call. Just give me a second. No. All right.
But back to that, I mean, I do think you do a really good job of that, Nico, and I think it makes people like us want to come in because we... Even if we're not buying our own wine, we want to buy a neighbor's wine.
Yeah.
We want to support our community. So I think we tend to really love that as well because it's nice to, you know, as Steve always says, you make the money go in a circle, right? You
yeah.
support the partners that support you and then it just kind of comes back. And it's also great to know that with confidence, I love that we can send people to Cabianca and they're going to be able to get Sonoma County wine and,
yeah.
And everything. Cabs, Zins, Sauv Blancs, you name it, Chard, Pinot, all from different producers around the community. And I think that's really cool.
And that's kind of one of the things that I can most link to, like, the European lifestyle. You have all these little towns in Europe, especially in Italy, where, you know, the farmer trades his goat cheese mm-hmm. for the wine, and the restaurant gets both for, you know, free meal at night. And it's just, that is what, to me, is Sonoma County, where you have all these different entities, you know, whether it be fishermen or farmers or, you know, dairies. And everybody makes products that are so complementary to each other,
yep.
where, you know, we can source things... like the different cheeses, the different meats, and you really just accentuate those flavors without doing too much on the plate, and then you pair them with a great wine from around here. Like, what more could you ask for? I mean, it is Sonoma County on a table,
yeah.
and it's just there's nothing else that I could do to better encapsulate what we want here in Sonoma County. Mm. It's just
that's such a great visual. I do know, having traveled through sort of France and Italy, there so often we stumble upon like a small little restaurant. You get like two meal options. And one wine option, white or red.
Yeah.
And but
yeah.
it's the local, everything's local, and it's
yep.
and you're exactly right. There was probably some bartering that happened, and you're kind of like, is this where we want to eat? And you're like, oh my gosh, that was the best meal I've had.
Yeah.
on this
and
trip.
The thing and is, it's pennies on the dollar. I mean.
Yes. And it just and no, I mean, it really it is. I mean, sadly, maybe not in Sonoma County is it pennies on the dollar, but over there
yeah, well.
For sure. But it's but I love that sort of that whole saying too. What grows together, goes together.
Absolutely.
And I think that's very, very true of our food and wine here.
So the wine list is, I mean, it's 3 pages long, which is, it's impressive to have a wine list with that many options anywhere. But how has it kind of evolved over time? Like, have there been different things that people have been more interested in, or have your tastes changed?
Yeah, so, well, it's 6 pages long.
I was going to say, I think 3 is a little light.
Well, okay.
We have like, I think we're at like 390 wines or something.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe that.
Yeah,
I was,
it could
I was
be.
Thinking back and I was like,
okay,
more
it's 6 pages long. All right, so even more to the point.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's always going to be the infatuation with the American market for Brunellos and Barolo, just the big names.
Yep.
But there's so many wines out there you can have where... You know, they might not like a Schioppettino. It's a light, nice, bright, acidic wine. It pairs so well with seafood on a nice summer day. You know, when you don't always want a big cab on a warm summer night or something. Where, you know, people just aren't quite knowledgeable yet about that varietal. But you bring them there, and people ask you, you know, recommend me something. I like a Pinot. I like a Sonoma Coast Pinot. And you say, why don't you give this a try? And it really, you know, they might come back and order it again or go to a different restaurant. And so there's so much curiosity out there. I think to train someone's palate, or they just want to learn what, if I like this in a wine, what would it be translatable to on the Italian side of the list? And so that's kind of the interesting part, you know, where people maybe they want to try to pair it more in an Italian restaurant with an Italian dish just because, you know, nice braised meats, they go so well with the tannins and acidity of a Barolo. And, you know,
yeah,
we try to also buy a lot of wines and cellar them for a while, you know, especially to get them the right amount of bottle age. So when you open them, they don't need to be decanted for 6 hours, you know.
Right, right. Have you found, like, I mean, are people still interested in kind of older vintage wines?
It's, yeah.
Yeah, so you're still...
Especially the Italians, definitely, you know, you get a lot of people seeking out those older vintages.
Mm-hmm. What about whites? I mean, are you, have people kind of gravitated to drinking more white wine? Or, I mean, you're still in a pasta place, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, especially with the lighter, you know, like a nice vongole, so with clams, a little bit of garlic, white wine. It pairs really well with, you know, vermentino. You get a nice, you know, crisp, bright acidity. You just, it really accentuates all those flavors again. So I think the beauty of Italian wine, too, is there's so many different varietals. Mm. And they're a lot more, I mean, there's so many different terroirs, too, where, you know, there's the limestone, the salinity. And I think that also just piques people's curiosity. They see an interesting name they can't pronounce sometimes, and they say, I want to try that. So, you know, there's a lot of different avenues where you can get to trying those wines.
Right.
Well, and it's fun, too, because we're growing more and more Italian varieties here in Sonoma County, and we're like experimenting. I just did a tasting up at Orsi and tried, I think, 13 different red wines on a very warm day, and still was, I mean, it's so fun to do that next to trying one red wine after another, the different, because like you said, some things I've never tried, and I'm like, okay, so it's lighter, or it's darker, it's fruitier, it's pepper, more pepper, and to build it, you know, have the juxtaposition against each other, and I think you're right, like, those wines do pair really great with so many of the different dishes, so... We're finding our way to all the Italian varieties, varietal wines.
I'm just getting hungrier.
I know, seriously. Yeah. I know. Where's our plate of pasta? Normally people bring us food if they come from a restaurant. Where's our pasta? Come on.
Well, we're going to take a quick break and
we'll
ask
let them go
him
get
those
some.
Questions.
Yeah, we'll let them go get some pasta.
We'll be right back.
Here on the good stuff. Our guest, Nico Diana from Cabianca Italian Restaurant on The Good Stuff. And we'd
so
love
fun.
To know, I know, we're getting hungrier as the
I
minutes
know.
Go.
We're going to have to cut this off so we go eat.
Yeah, but we'd love to know a little bit more about, like, how do you come up with ideas for specials? What are some of, you maybe some favorite family recipes?
Yeah, so, well, Chef Arturo, he's been working with us now for about 10 years. Him and I, you know, we've become, he's a little bit older than I am. He's about 50, I'm 30. But we go all the time. We drive around. We go check out seafood on the coast. We actually got a really good importer of mushrooms, both domestic and from Europe. Mm. So we'll get great black truffles, white truffles from him, chanterelles, hedgehogs, black trumpets. They get them fresh every day. They drive up to Shasta, go foraging. And so we kind of just see what we can get seasonally. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite things, to be honest with you, we get a very good fresh buffalo mozzarella imported from Italy.
Nice.
And then I started growing heirloom tomatoes recently. So I last year planted about 15 plants and got so many. They were the size of a softball. And that's one of the most simple dishes, but with the great mozzarella, with the great heirloom tomato, a little bit of extra virgin olive oil and a fresh Sonoma County basil. I mean, you get just a stellar
perfection.
Dish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's some of the most simple things. They just have all the flavor on their own because they were grown in great soil by great people or by nature. I mean,
yeah.
So family recipes though, were there any like secret recipes no one would let you into for a while, or are there still some secret recipes?
There are most definitely. I know them all by now.
Okay.
But like I said, a lot of my family is family in my heart, even though we're not blood related because I grew up with them and they've been basically family with my parents for life. And so, Chef Angelo Zicario, he brought so many recipes. You're like the rigatoni you love. And the bolognese and everything. And we'll have those forever just because they're always going to be just part of the institution.
Someone like me coming in and being like, I'll take that.
Yeah, I want that.
Yes, I want that.
And the parmigiana. And, you know, there's just all these different items that you just can't ever change them or even tweak them because they...
People come there for that.
Exactly. And so those are family recipes to us and they will forever be.
Are they written down anywhere?
In my computer.
Okay, good.
They exist in a vault.
I was waiting, you know, for the scrap piece of paper that I know. I've started taking pictures when people write stuff down, so now I like have stuff. Not that I cook, really, which is why Nico sees me so often.
Yeah, my dad and I, one of our favorite things to do, we just experiment so much with different, and then his friend Vincenzo just recently moved to Sicily. He retired, sold his restaurants in Burlingame, and he comes back and stays in my dad's, he has a little granny unit in his backyard, and for a month at a time, and we'll just cook together and, you know, play around with different things and with Chef Chef Arturo there at Cabianca too. And some things you just stumble across just by coincidence, just by, you know, trying out new things and seeing new techniques. And so that's kind of the beauty of it. You always get fresh ingredients and you do the best to kind of just really magnify the flavors coming from those ingredients in different seasonal items. You know, it's just,
yeah,
there's not always a recipe behind everything. It might just be an accident, but it's a very great accident, the delicious accident. So,
right. So what's your favorite fast food?
Oh, man.
Oh my God.
Every time I've not lived in California, it's been In-N-Out that I just crave for life.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's everybody. All my cousins from Germany and cousins from Italy,
the first
thing they want when we get them from SFO is, I gotta go to In-N-Out.
I'm like, we'll see Kavianca a little bit, but let's go to In-N-Out.
Right. Well, they usually get in at like midnight, so
yeah.
When we used to pick them up growing up, though, we'd keep the restaurant open, we'd pick them up. My grandpa had this big van, and we'd drive down, and the chefs would cook a huge bowl of rigatoni, and my cousins would always just go crazy for it. We'd go to Italy, and my dad would cook it, or in Germany for my my mom's nephews and nieces, so my cousins in Germany, and they'd just go crazy for that. So it's kind of cool to see, like, a dish just worldwide, you know, people are so
excited
crazy for
about
it, I guess.
Ooh. Yeah, that love. Well, I think that's part of that connection. Food connects people, right. Wine connects people, and that's part of the thread.
What better job can you have? That's what
right?
I always say.
Yeah, absolutely.
We say that too.
Okay, so outside of fast food, is there another Sonoma County restaurant that you go to often for either inspiration or just comfort or place?
You know, so I like to try new things. I mean, recently I went to ayahuasca in Petaluma. I really like it there. Mm-hmm. I like raw seafood, so the tartare or the, I mean, I guess ceviche you call it there. I like to try a lot of different new things.
Yeah.
I like, not Sonoma County, but Bistro Don Giovanni. I really
fantastic.
Like that place.
Yep.
You know, and then back when I loved Campo Fina in Healdsburg. I mean, that was just one of my favorite places of all time.
I know. Yeah. Rest in peace. Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us on today's Good Stuff. And if you haven't been, everybody should go to Kabianca Monday to Thursday for lunch. And dinner. Friday lunch and dinner, Saturday dinner, Sunday dinner. Basically, you can go any day and you might see Carissa.
Any final thoughts, Nika?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to Sonoma County because we obviously wouldn't be here for the last 30 years almost if it weren't for you guys and all the support. It's been great to get to know so many people and know so many people since I've been a child and always supporting my parents. We'll be there as long as you continue to want us here and, you know. Next year, we'll have a huge party on March 6th of 2026 to celebrate 30 years. So
I love it.
Everybody will be invited.
Very good.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, Nico.
Thank you.
Things up on today's Good Stuff. That was a lovely guest.
Wasn't that fun? I know.
Yeah. What a great
I know.
Perspective.
Great
fun
perspective.
Fun trip down memory lane.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's so cool. I know Jeff grew up with Nico, our guest today. No, super fun. And what a talented human. I mean, all the different languages, his love of food, well-traveled.
Yeah.
I mean, all of that. So thank you, Nico. That was a great show.
Show off.
Oh, there we go. There we go. There's the childhood rivalry. So just to remind everyone, Kabianca, it's at 835 2nd Street in downtown Santa Rosa. You can go to kabianca.com. You can definitely make reservations. I know on Open Table, they're open daily, lunch and dinners during the week and dinner only on the weekends. So visit kabianca.com. Yeah, and I was sharing the story. I love it because my mom, when Steve and I go there, often my mom calls and talks to either Nico or Marco and pays for our dinner.
Wow.
Which is even better. What's
that
not to love when you get
mom.
To have pasta, wine, and then you get dinner paid for. So
does she have a limit?
No, sometimes we feel really bad. We're like, oh, we started with a glass of wine and then we ordered the bottle.
She wants you to have a nice time.
I know, she does. I know.
Okay.
No. So I know what's our Tuesday night. I'm definitely doing pasta on Tuesday night. So
Whoa.
I might just have to go to Kabianca if you want to go. We could just go do that on Tuesday
I think that's a really good idea because I've already picked out what I would order
yeah.
on the wine list. Because I mean, the food I always look at the food second.
Oh, okay,
I figure out what I'm going to drink first. So I like that they have a little 2021 Russian River Chardonnay from Paul Hobbs.
Yeah,
I'm going to have that.
Well, I have to do the shout out because we go there and we. Drink a lot of Dutton Goldfield while we're there, which makes a ton of sense since Steve and I are there. But I'll do the Dutton Goldfield, the Russian River Valley Chardonnay. And I think they also have the Pinot on the list, so I could do that too. But yeah, but I'm willing to share.
Depends what you order.
But I'm willing to share.
Okay, same.
I might start with a glass of something. Maybe start with a glass of Chardonnay and then move on to a bottle. Just saying.
And I hope Mom is paying.
Yeah, that'd be great. Are you listening, Mom? I'll let you know next time we go.
No, a really beautiful restaurant, great part of Santa Rosa history and family run. I mean,
yeah, multi-generational family run.
Can you say are still family run?
Yeah, next year they celebrate their 30th. That's pretty cool.
Amazing. All right. Well, from Sonoma County to wherever you are, remember to drink and eat the good stuff.
Cheers to that.